Let's go to Wellington.
Uncomfortable for you? Afternoon, everyone. Today I can give you an update on the reach of government investment that at this stage aims to ensure people remain connected to their jobs and have an income so businesses can come through the impacts of COVID-19 and keep going. The wage subsidy has seen $4.5 billion paid out, helping just over 750,000 New Zealanders, 115,000 of which are self-employed. And to shine a light on the current daily scale, there were 13,300 new applications since yesterday, and they continue to be processed in earnest by MSD staff. Today I can also confirm that we've agreed a leave scheme for essential workers. This is for those essential businesses that are experiencing significant loss of business or similar hardship. There are people working in our essential services who are more vulnerable to COVID-19, such as those over 70 or with compromised immunity, and workers who have vulnerable people at home. We need to ensure that they have the ability to take leave and are not feeling pressured to come to work if they're vulnerable, sick, or otherwise unable to work. This also applies to those on essential service front lines that contract the virus and need to take leave as a result. The leave scheme allows businesses to pay those workers who need to take leave at the same rate as the wage subsidy scheme of $85.80 per week full-time and $350 per week for part-time workers. Usual conditions apply, such as an employer paying the usual income if it's less than the relevant subsidy or, if it's more, the employer aiming to pay at least 80% of the worker's usual income. The scheme will be open and available from next Monday. Minister Robertson is here to answer any questions on that scheme, but you will have recalled, as many of you have asked questions about this issue, this is to ensure that any essential frontline workers who are vulnerable are now supported to be at home and that their employers, we continue to have that expectation that they be able to remain at home. Today I can also share decisions made by the COVID committee. The Deputy Prime Minister has been leading work on the repatriation of foreign nationals. As he has said this afternoon, when we moved into lockdown a week ago, we rightly prioritised public health and limited the movement of people so as to restrict the spread of COVID-19. But it is clear that many foreign nationals travelling here do not have the resources or capability to adequately self-isolate and wish to return home. The week that we've had in this first week of lockdown has given us the space and capacity to draw up a plan to enable, as seamless as possible, the movement of foreign nationals in order for them to exit New Zealand. Under the managed exit plan, foreign nationals returning home will be considered to be engaging in essential travel and therefore able to travel domestically, whether by air or land, when they have a confirmed or scheduled international flight out of New Zealand. We have some specific requirements there that sit alongside that. That's all available on the COVID-19 website, but in particular, someone who's travelling on a domestic flight must have a ticketed international flight within a 24-hour window so that we can be assured they are travelling to get to an international airport in order to leave New Zealand. Foreign governments will be allowed to organise charter flights to repatriate their citizens, but only if they can satisfy New Zealand health requirements. I expect that as a result of these changes and as part of our now managed exit plan that we will see people beginning to move fairly shortly. For those who are relying on commercial options, which do still exist, and there continues to be a Qatar flight going daily, I believe, and more so than that soon out of Doha, those commercial options are there and are available, and we have not put a time limit on people's ability to engage in essential travel for domestic links. So I want to assure foreign nationals that they will have the time to make a plan, make a safe plan for themselves to utilise those commercial options. Today, a New Zealand government WhatsApp channel for COVID-19 has kicked off. The current functions include latest updates and news, latest case information, symptoms, financial support available, and mental health advice. It's been led by the Health Minister, David Clark, and was developed with help from the private sector, including Rob Fyfe and Sam Morgan. For those interested, rather than being an app, it utilises WhatsApp, given that so many New Zealanders already have this function on their phone. So once you have WhatsApp on your phone, if you simply open your browser, type in covid19.govt.nz/WhatsApp, it will give you the option of sending yourself a link that will then open in your existing WhatsApp app, and you'll have the latest COVID-19 information right there directly on your phone. And you'll see that it includes the latest case information for today, and we'll do so on a rolling basis. The view is that once we have people using that function and that device, on their device, sorry, that they will then build in additional functionality and in the future may be able to help us as we continue our ongoing fight against COVID-19. Finally, today, I want to extend a thank you to those whose job it is to keep our communities safe. Our police workforce of nearly 14,000, more than 10,000 of which are police officers. In Alert Level 4, their approach is educate, warn, enforce. But what we've seen most is assistance. I've heard that in Rotorua on Monday, for example, a local gentleman who is homeless, who usually rebuffs police help, accepted fresh food, clothing, and isolation accommodation. He was supported then to set up a doctor's checkup as he hadn't been in a long time, all with the help of local police. In Northland this week, a police shift staff member advised an elderly man in a supermarket that he should be at home as he was vulnerable to COVID-19. The man told him he had no one to shop for him, so the staff member asked for his address, did the shop, and dropped it to his front door. We know too that police, as they keep us safe, are facing challenges themselves, as they do every day. But they continue to go above and beyond, and for that I want to say thank you to all of them. Finally, I want to acknowledge Police Commissioner Mike Bush, who finishes up at midnight tonight, handing the reins over to Andrew Costa. Mike will stay on in the All of Government COVID-19 Response Group and will be working closely with our new Police Commissioner. Mike Bush has been an exceptional police officer and civil servant, and as Commissioner has led the frontline response to some enormous and extraordinary challenges. He leaves the role with a police force that continues to change and adapt and meets the needs of the people it serves. So now is not really farewell for Mike, given he will continue to be part of the operational response to COVID-19, but in his role as police commissioner for now, he signs off and we say thank you. Happy to take questions, and obviously Minister Robertson is here also. I have to say I'm extraordinarily disappointed and frankly gutted to see what has been a part of New Zealand history close its doors fairly abruptly today. What I want to make really clear, though, is that the government actively sought to assist Bauer through this period of time. Minister Chris Farfoy spoke to them and asked if they could take up the wage subsidy. They refused. In my view, from what I know of this situation, this appears to have been a decision that has been made that is at the same time as COVID-19, but not because of it.
The wage subsidy wouldn't have even touched the sides with ad revenue flatlining, so why not buy the titles and save the titles, even in a caretaker role?
Well, ultimately, the issues around advertising revenue and so on are a long-term issue that has been exacerbated by revenue going, in, for instance, to online media, social media and so on. The wage subsidy could and should have made a difference to those staff, to those writers, to those journalists, and we were very keen that Bauer take it up. Many other businesses have done the same. They've seen it as an opportunity to keep their staff on. We would have liked to have seen Bauer do that too, keep their doors open, keep operating, keep an online offering, and move through the other side of COVID-19 once we're all able to.
What countries have shown an interest in repatriating their citizens back home?
Yeah, so we know that we have a large number at the moment from Germany, from the UK in particular. But actually there's a number from a range of different countries and quite large numbers as well. That's why you've seen interest from the likes of Germany to charter specific flights, just because of the sheer number of German nationals that are currently in New Zealand. And I know that New Zealanders will want all of those individuals to know how seriously we take our hospitality. And these are extraordinary circumstances where it just hasn't been possible for us to give any of those individuals the usual hospitality we would want. And so now we're supporting them to get home.
Prime Minister, should people be able to self-isolate when they arrive at the border? Is it time now for everyone to be quarantined when they arrive here in New Zealand, given the police are saying they haven't been able to physically check people like was promised?
Two things, first of all. We are relying on every New Zealander to self-isolate. We are relying on those who have come in contact with COVID cases to self-isolate. We're relying on those who are vulnerable to self-isolate. And so there is a level of faith that we have to have in everyone. And I would remind people again that, yes, there is risk from those coming in from overseas, but so too is there risk from people who are part of community clusters and outbreaks at the moment. So there, in all of this response, we are relying on people. But we have put in extra measures when it comes to the border. Already, I'm told by the police that they have had 5,984 contacts with individual passengers via the geolocation system that Commissioner Bush talked about today at Select Committee. Now, if someone does not respond to that, then they are getting a follow-up from the police. So we are policing that process. But there is a level of reliance on every New Zealander to play their part here.
This is a high-risk group, and if there is a point at which, at the border, the government knows where they are and
yep.
could...
Keep in mind...
And with numbers reducing now, maybe 2 weeks ago... You
sure.
know, week
Keep it, keeping in mind that we are doing a risk assessment, and so anyone who is symptomatic is quarantined. Not just put into a hotel, but quarantined. Anyone who doesn't have a self-isolation planned, and let me explain what that means. If they, for instance, will be self-isolating with anyone who is vulnerable, if they don't have an adequate way to get to their self-isolation that doesn't put others at risk, then they will be put into essentially a hotel and monitored by us. There are over 1,000 people we have done that to. So we are risk assessing. But if, for instance, someone has a private vehicle to go home to, they're isolating just with the person they travelled with, for instance, and they live 20 minutes from an airport, yes, they go home, we check on them. If we don't hear back, the police go and knock on their door.
Jacinda Ardern taking questions from reporters following that 3pm media conference. If you're keen to keep listening to the questions and to catch Grant Robertson's contribution, you can listen online and watch online too at rnz.co.nz.